Welcome to ViralCast, MovieViral.com's official podcast. Today's podcast is a special on Watchmen, and I am joined today by Tom from the forums. Hey, Tom.
How you doing?
So, I'd like to get your perspective first about the movie. Were you a reader of the novel beforehand?
I did read it. I read it a couple months back. Once they announced the movie, I was really intrigued by it. I wanted to read the story, get everything down with it. So I read the book. I thought it was great. It was like one of the greatest novels I've read in a while. And then I went into the movie, and I just thought it was just lived up to the hype. It was overall a great movie. Like, it had great actors to portray, like, Rorschach and Night Owl and Dr. Manhattan and everybody. It had great, like, plot, great everything. A couple things I didn't like about it were things like the soundtrack. Yeah, there were a couple parts where it was just like, this was really unnecessary. Like, they played Leonard Cohen's Hallelujah in one scene. It was just, during the sex scene, and it was just completely out of place, and it didn't make sense at all.
There was some good music played. It was just, when they played it, just it didn't seem to be appropriate. Like, when they went to Antarctica and they're playing the Watchtower song Jimi Hendrix. It didn't make sense.
Yeah, it was really good that they went to try and give it, like, the 70s, 80s feel to it and, like, do that kind of thing. But, like, they went a little overboard in some places, I felt.
Yeah, it just seemed they just kind of, like, threw it in there. Just like, oh, here's a song from that time.
Exactly, yeah. And, like, it was completely unnecessary.
Yeah, very haphazard of it. You know, it's interesting to see what went into their minds as to why they decided, you know, those songs and those placements of it. Someone had to go, hey, that's a good idea.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's a song from the 80s. Let's put that in there.
So, but you pretty much, you liked it overall pretty much?
Pretty much, yeah. Overall, it was a fantastic movie. Like, it had a good length to it. It was about 3 hours. Like, I mean, that's kind of long for a movie, but hell, like, every point of the movie
nowadays.
Is great. Yeah, and nowadays, like, you get, like, just 90-minute movies. But like,
yeah, you always get those extremes. You always get, like, you know, the 90-minute Hancock, or you get the 3-hour Batman. You know?
Yeah, exactly. It's either you get one or the other nowadays, but it's great to get a good long movie every now and then, and this was, like, the perfect movie for that.
Right, and this is the kind of movie where there's so much material. It's so dense.
Exactly, yeah. Like, you can
You have to have it long. You can't make a 90-minute Watchmen movie.
Yeah, you can't take anything out of the book. Like, everything had to be in there.
Some of the things I really liked the most about the movie were the flashbacks, even.
Oh, yeah.
And even in the novel, too. That was pretty much some of the best stuff I was reading was the flashbacks.
Oh, yeah, with Dr. Manhattan on Mars, and he's, like, reminiscing about, like, before he had the accident. And, like, I really felt his story, like, throughout.
Yeah, they really did that well.
Exactly, yeah.
I was also someone who read the novel, and I think most people who watch the movies tend to be. I actually read it in November, I think, finally, after my roommate had read it, and he actually didn't like it at all, and we have very similar tastes. And so I read it, and I was like, well, it's not as bad as you think it is, but I agree that there's a lot of problems with it. And so I actually went into this movie kind of thinking, well, you know, they can really kind of go up in my perspective. And I actually felt, me personally, that the movie was better than the book. And I'm going to be like one out of, you know, 2 billion people who think that. Most people, you know, they always say, oh, the book's better. And it's usually true, obviously, because you're basically just making like a cut down version of the book.
Exactly. Like, I feel like the fanboys, they didn't get the full effect of it as the non-readers did, which is kind of like the exact opposite of how it usually happens nowadays. But like, I feel like if you read the book, then you were a little bit more disappointed with it as you would be if you didn't read the book.
Yeah, one of the things I was worried about when I'm thinking about non-readers watching it was, well, will you get it? It's really easy to see how you could just forget about those guys because you're just so busy trying to please the fanboys. It's like you have to realize, hey, there's other people going to see this too. And my roommate, my current roommate, actually, he hadn't read the book and he watched the movie and he was pretty much able to, you know, follow along. I think there's a lot of little tidbit things in there that are good. If you were a fanboy, you see that and you're like, oh yeah, and, you know, you remember that, but you don't necessarily miss it as a non-reader.
Yeah, like it's not necessary to the story.
Right, and so it just gives it a little more meaning to it, a little more depth. You know, it works on those two levels. That's really important, I think, when you're doing a movie like this, when you're trying to please two different kind of crowds. You know, I think the Star Trek movie, for instance, is going to have to deal with that also.
Yeah.
There's people who really care about the canon and everything, but they, you know, there's people who are going to be watching this and never seen.
Yeah, like it's really hard to please both, like, the non-readers and the readers nowadays and everything. So, like, they just had to do the best they can, I guess.
Pat Oswalt had made that comment that was I saw in Slash Film about everyone who's complaining about Zack Snyder's version of the movie and everything. It's like, hey, look, this guy did what he could do. Everyone was saying for the longest time that this novel was something that was almost impossible to make into a movie.
Exactly. Yeah, it is.
It was unfilmable, they said. And I kind of agree, and I think that they did it as best they could. And, I mean, for this to be the result of their efforts, I think they should be pretty proud of themselves. To be able to accomplish what they did is pretty incredible. Some of the things I felt were wrong with the book, for instance, were the actual plot itself is pretty thin. Yeah. If you watch the movie, it's really simple. It's like, you know, there's people trying to kill them, you know, then they follow the leads, and then boom, they're there, and that's the end of the movie. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
The actual plot's pretty thin, so it's a very backwards-looking story. You know, in the novel, they deal with that pretty well, but in a movie's supposed to be very forward-moving, so for them to try to balance that, I thought they did pretty well. It was really, really dense. You know, it's such a fine line you're walking. To do that much backstory, they did it really well, I think.
Yeah, like, they did a lot with a little. Like, they didn't have a lot of a plot to work with, except for, like, what was in the book. They had to add all the backstory to it.
Yeah, and there's some things, you know, there are some flashbacks and some stories that you don't necessarily need to know in order to understand the basic premise of the story. But there's a lot of it that gives it some more depth to it, so you really get to see the relationships. It brings a human face to the superheroes, and I think that's the point of the entire book to a certain degree.
Yeah, exactly.
Is to bring a real kind of realistic, gritty, human face to it, and that's something where I always felt the book definitely accomplished.
Yeah,
was this kind of atmosphere it created, and the characters I really do love, and the movie they were really good. To the Rorschach, obviously, I think everyone's favorite character.
Yeah, I loved Rorschach. Yeah. Like, the way that he got portrayed, it was just fantastic. Like, it's exactly how I pictured him being.
There's a lot of actors that in the film I thought that were pretty spot on. You know, the comedian.
Yeah, Patrick Wilson playing Dan and Jackie Earle Haley playing Rorschach were just two, like, great characters. Like, they did perfect.
I mean, I would have never, if you would have said who you think should be Dr. Manhattan, I don't think I ever would have guessed Billy Crudup. but you worked out perfectly, I think. I think he had that kind of balance between being someone who, you know, can, obviously it's not really him in that perfect body, but, you know, he's able to portray someone who has that kind of body, but also who has that kind of sensibility, because,
exactly.
You know, he's someone who's supposed to not care, but he kind of does care, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
An interesting casting choice that I think worked out really well.
Uh-huh.
One of the things I think was really interesting was the ending and how they changed the ending.
Oh, yeah, like, they completely changed it around.
What did you think of the ending and the change?
It kind of ended in the book kind of abruptly, but they just added a lot to it in the movie. I just thought it was, like, really good what they added to it. After the end of the Antarctica scene and how they would put in the newspaper, I just really liked how, like, they portrayed it.
Right. I was never a big fan. Yeah, spoiler alert here in case.
Yeah, I'm trying to, like, stay away from that, but.
Yeah, let's go. Let's do official spoiler alert here. But you know, the book has the squid ending, and I'm reading this thing, and it's, you know, it's, you know, a regular novel. I'm like, okay, this makes sense. And then all of a sudden, there's a squid. I'm like, what? So I was never a fan of the squid ending, and so I felt this was a great way to accomplish the same goal, because the whole goal is to say, like, look. You know, your superheroes aren't enough. You know, we need some kind of extraterrestrial kind of threat in order to bring everyone together. And, you know, their decision in the book was, hey, let's do a big alien squid. And I mean, in the movie, they tied it back together with the characters by making it Dr. Manhattan himself. And I felt that was really a really great way to go, because it just ties everything together a lot more. And it doesn't look as silly either.
Yeah, when I heard, a spoiler before I saw the movie that the squid wasn't going to be in it, I was honestly getting a little worried that, like, this movie wasn't going to be, like, what we thought it was going to be. Because, like, if they took out the squid, then that God knows what else they took out. Because that's, like, a huge thing. But they replaced it so well that, like, you wouldn't even care that the squid wasn't in it.
They stayed extremely faithful in a lot of different areas. And so I think that gave them the leeway to do that, because they were... I was almost surprised how faithful it was to the book, but yet in a way that was without it seeming like you're just kind of cherry picking from the book and making it look like you're just trying to do a movie version of the book. Yeah, you know, they still made it kind of their own, and they still made it a cohesive film, but they still were able to keep it extremely faithful to the novel.
Yeah, they just didn't want it to be like a mix and match kind of thing. They just wanted it to, like, go straight through the book, and they did that very well. Like,
instead of mm-hmm. just being like random scene here and random scene there. It was just like the entire book, boom, like right there in like a 3-hour movie.
Yeah, that's incredibly difficult to do.
Exactly.
Like I watched Twilight actually, and you know, it's not a great movie, obviously. you know, I watched it and then I read the book afterwards, and the book's, you know, a little better. And then I watched the movie one more time because my girlfriend wanted to see it again because she loves it, you know. And I just realized it, after I had read in the book, the movie just feels like it's like chopped up. It feels like it's just, here's the scene, here's the scene, here's the scene, here's the scene. And I had never really thought about it like that, and that's really what it felt like. And it made the movie not feel cohesive. But, it, you know, having read the book first and then watching Watchmen, it just feels like they still found a way to make it one cohesive story.
Yeah, definitely. Also, I know Madman from the forum commented about this. It was really brutal and gory. Like, it was just, like, crazy gory. Like, when Dan and Miss Jupiter were fighting in the alley against, like, the gang members, and, like, they would just show, like, a broken arm here and, like, impaling over there.
Yeah, it was pretty gruesome. The whole scene with Warshak and trying to find the kid.
Yeah.
That was even worse,
yeah.
And for me, it was a little weird. It's, like, it's so random because, like, you know, most of the film's not that gory. And they kind of just throw it in there for effect, and it's just like, whoa. I think that's what they're going for, and I think it worked in that way. It wasn't too much.
Yeah.
So it didn't really bother me too much. It was definitely, you know, shocking to see, and I think that's what they're going for.
I didn't expect it to be too gory. Like, I knew, like, there was going to be, like, a fight here and, like, a split-open dog there, but I didn't expect it to be, like, back-to-back-to-back, like, keep going with a meat cleaver to the head kind of thing.
With the action, I felt the novel didn't have much action in it.
Yeah.
And that's maybe part of the point of the book, but I still didn't enjoy that. But they did it better, I think, in the film, in that, the, you know, there's still enough action, enough sequences like that timed out pretty well, so that, you know, it didn't feel as sparsed out as it was in the book.
Yeah, like it's a lot easier to portray like an action scene in a movie than it is in a graphic novel. So like
exactly. They
were able to like take like their imagination and like just roll with it and make it work.
Yeah, you kind of have to do that. If you're going to turn this into a movie, you realize you're going to have to keep those. And any action scenes that are in the novel, you have to keep them.
Yeah.
And then you have to expand on them a little bit. And I liked it. And I'm one of the people who are not a big fan of slow-mo when it comes to action sequences, especially Zack Snyder's version. And a couple people in the forum, in their reviews, even mentioned the fact that the slow-mo wasn't too bad. Some people didn't like it. Some people were okay with it. And I was someone who's kind of in the middle. It, you know, it definitely wasn't as bad as 300,
where
I felt like
I was just going to say, like, 300 was just, forget about it. It was, like, a ridiculously horribly used slow motion. But, like, the slow motion in Watchmen, it was just, it was noticeable, but it was bearable.
It's better than those, Bourne Supremacy, where they do that shaky cam.
Oh, yeah,
you can't see the action.
Yeah.
It's better than that, at least. So it was cool, because it's interesting to see action sequences done in slow-mo, just because you can see the technicalness of it a little more.
Yeah.
And so that's nice. And as long as you're not doing it too much. And I felt yet another time in which the movie's, you know, walking a tightrope. they're walking a really fine line there, and I felt that they did that pretty well.
So favorite character, go.
Warshak, easy.
Yeah, it's like, he's just like a complete badass in the movie. Like, he was a badass in the book, but
right. They
portrayed it great. He was just
spot on.
Exactly.
It was exactly the way you would. I mean, he was one of the bright lights. They translated that exactly the way you needed to for the film. That great.
Like the riot scene in when he was in jail, and like they were cutting open his jail cell with like the saw, and he just like completely killed all three of them, and then just kept going like nothing happened. Like, that's like exactly how Rorschach is, and like, that's like a defining moment.
His whole character of being, you know, there's no compromise.
Yeah.
That's just, like, his whole character, and he sticks true to that the entire film. And even to the end, to his own fate. And that's one of the things that makes you realize that there's different kinds of people. Like, each superhero has their own kind of personality.
Yeah.
Where, like, Dan kind of needs the suit. Sally Jupiter doesn't like being in the costume. And, you know, everyone has, like, their own little thing they bring to the table.
Exactly.
So that's why it's such a great ensemble cast of characters.
It really is.
And they're all good. And one of the things I didn't like in the book was the fact that Dr. Manhattan, his apathy that he had, which I know was part of his character, made him seem kind of like a jerk, or like a whiny little person. Because of that, it was really hard to kind of enjoy him in the book. But in the film, I felt that they conveyed him better. The one line, it's like, well, if he's pretending to care, that means he cares, and little things like that. And where they really made him realize that he's a real character. He's not just this omniscient being and everything. He actually is someone who does have feelings, but you know, he wasn't as whiny, I felt, as he was in the novel.
Yeah, like, that's the one thing I didn't like about Dr. Manhattan. Like, he was still whiny in the movie, but it wasn't as bad as it was portrayed in the novel. But, like, it was still there, and as he, like, grew during the movie, like, he became, like, this, like, guy who thought he was a god, basically, to, like, just another human that's trying to, like, save the planet.
When he realizes what's been going on, and he goes to try to stop Adrian, like, you know, normally you'd be like, oh, that's easy, he's gonna kill him, but then, you know, he gets the whole mind game, makes him realize what he's trying to do. But, you know, he does that kind of, like, I'm gonna leap into action kind of scene, and I thought that was really cool, because it showed him, like, he realizes, like, this is what he needs to do.
Yeah.
So to see him kind of acting like a superhero was kind of nice. Except when he was naked.
Yeah, exactly. That's, like, the one thing that, like, everybody's, like, freaking out about. He's, like, naked in the movie, and it's really not as bad as people would think it is, but
it's there. It's there.
It's definitely there, but
total time on screen is maybe less than 15, 20 seconds. It's nothing crazy. It's just
15 seconds is, like, spread out through a 3-hour movie, so it's not like it's that bad.
But, you know, and you're trying to stay true to the character, because that's who his character is. Yeah. He's someone who's just become so detached from humanity that clothes don't even matter to him. That's who he is, and you have to kind of stay true to that.
Yeah.
But there's times where, they shielded it a little bit. They would only show the side of him for a second. And, like, they would do things so...
They would do a tease.
So that way he would be naked, but not, you know... I was going to say, that, you know, a lot of the reviews on the forum that we asked for were very extensive, and most of them were pretty positive. You know, a lot of things that we mentioned, I think, were said. Nobody was terribly upset by the ending changing, and you had a few people, like Nicholas James, who... gave it a 2 out of 5. I think mostly because of, as he quoted, the blue ding-a-ling.
I'm doing air quotes.
Yeah, exactly. To really emphasize that. And then the things we mentioned, like the music.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. But he mentions how much he loves it visually, and then yet he talks about this other stuff, and then he goes to the 2 out of 5. It's funny. But yeah, definitely visually, I think that they really accomplished a lot of things in this film. The CGI for Dr. Manhattan was really impressive.
Oh yeah, definitely. Nick refers to it as the 9/11 reference ending, where they just destroy New York. So I thought that was just really great. Like, I'm a big fan of, like, disaster kind of film.
Right.
And that was just, like, a great moment. Like, they really did great CGI with that. A lot of people on the forum are just giving it the entire movie in general, like, 8 out of 10, 8.5 out of 10, 4 out of 5.
Right.
And there was only that one review that gave it less than a 3 out of 5. There's so many good, like, points in the good reviews that, like, it kind of, like, just overlaps, like, everything that's bad about it.
And when you have a movie like this, it's so dense that there's going to be so many different points you could bring up as to what's good, what's bad. And I think a lot of it, obviously... with most films too, is the subjectiveness of it and what's more important to you as a viewer. And so you're going to see a lot of that where, you know, the same issues come up for everyone else, but for somebody it's not that important, whereas for somebody it's a big deal. There's just so much material in this film, and so there's so much to look at that I can see why we're getting such great reviews that are so long.
Every part is important, right?
Yeah, exactly. And this is obviously a really passionate subject for a lot of people. I mean, it's funny how this book came out like 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Most people on the forum are in their teens, and yet they love this thing. So it's something that transcends time to a certain degree, because it just keep getting new readers, and you can see that they're just as passionate about it as maybe, you know, the original readers. So
yeah, like it's really like multiple generations of people. Like,
yeah,
everybody's like, there are people still reading this book, and it's really great to know that, because not a lot of people are reading like graphic novels anymore, and people who like wouldn't stay true to them are reading them now and loving it, and that's like really great for
the industry. Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
There's so many things that could easily make somebody from this generation not understand it or you know, not feel any kind of attachment to it. Yet still, it finds a way to succeed to that. And that's one of the reasons why I think it's Time Magazine named it one of the best 100 novels of all time or something. There's a reason for that, obviously. It's something that really hits people really, really deep. But although, you know, the box office returns maybe kind of say a different story, but they underperformed a little bit with the 59 million. They were hoping to get at least, I think, 70. They're hoping they're in that area. So March is an interesting time to release it. And we mentioned this in my podcast with Corey, the idea that, you know, why would you release a summer type movie in March? There's going to be so many movies in the summer that you're trying to, you know, before the summer hits, it's not going to make all its money back probably.
Yeah, like if they release this movie in the summer,
it probably would have lived up to it. Yeah, like you said, it's in March. Like, it's not a great time to go see a movie, apparently.
Between that and the economy being bad.
Yeah, there you go. But it's really, like, kind of upsetting because, like, this is a great movie and people aren't giving it a chance. I'm sure, like, if a lot of people gave it a chance, then they would, like, absolutely love it, whether they read the book or not.
If you watch it more than once, especially if you're a reader of the book, I think there's things I missed that people mentioned on the forums that I was like, oh, yeah, I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, like, I'm going to be honest. I forgot a lot of things that happened in the movie, but I only know they happened because I read the book. Because, like,
yeah.
It was so, like, everything in the movie was so important that it's easy to forget, like, little things that happen. And those little things tend to, like, add up to each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that opening sequence was just amazing.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I mean, I thought, like, that alone told so much story.
Seriously, yeah.
Just that opening sequence. And it was obviously done very well. And
plus, that was my favorite part of the soundtrack. Like, the opening sequence, it was just, like, so dark. And
yeah.
It was just,
oh, yeah.
Like, overall played perfectly.
Yeah, the whole comedian death scene in the beginning was definitely well done, I thought.
Yeah.
And anything with Rorschach, I think, was pretty much well done. all that prison stuff and how, you know.
It was great.
Yeah, it was just, that was the highlights for me, was watching Rorschach do his thing.
Just watching him, like, go off on everybody. Like,
exactly.
Once he got framed by Adrian, once he killed
Moloch,
that's it. And then, like, he took out, like, aerosol can and just, like, went off on everybody's ass once they were trying to get him. And, like, he wasn't going down without a fight, and it was just great.
Yeah, you could see him, like, scourging in the apartment, like, no,
exactly.
He's so angry. You just see that kind of that rawness that he brings.
Yeah, Jackie Earle Haley just played a great Rorschach. It was, like, fantastic.
Yeah, he was perfect for this part, and, you know, to see him come out, because he was in The Bad News Bears as a kid.
Yeah.
He was a child actor, and then he ended up selling pizzas or something like that in Hollywood, and they finally brought him back for Little Children, I think it was, that he was in.
Right.
And then this film, so it's kind of interesting to see, here's this guy who's a child actor, and then, you know, selling pizzas in Hollywood, and then now all of a sudden he's, you know, he's on a roll.
Yeah,
he's getting great parts, and he's just, you know, kicking ass at doing them.
Yeah, hopefully this role will bring him back into, like, the Hollywood scene. Like, maybe hopefully, like, all these people will just realize that he's a great actor and he'll come back, because he truly is a great actor and he deserves to be in a lot more roles than he is.
Yeah, definitely. And you see that a lot too, especially with nowadays, with superhero films becoming a little more important, a little less, you know, scrutinized.
Yeah.
People are looking at them as, like, legitimate platforms for roles. I mean, you see Robert Downey Jr. with him in Iron Man, how that's kind of bringing him back. And even the movie, like, The Wrestler brought back Mickey Rourke, and, you know, so he's kind of having to come back too. So you're seeing these movies where a lot of people wouldn't think of them as being platform movies, but they're using them as that because it's just the whole environment right now in the industry.
Yeah, that's good to know that, like, all these, like, famed actors from way back when are coming back, because, like, we're kind of, like, running out of good actors. People are, like, starting to get washed up. They're like Adam Sandler. He's, like, a perfect example. He used to be a great actor, and now he's just completely washed up.
And you're not seeing a lot of people upcoming to kind of fill those spots. I mean, you got, you know, I think the biggest actor right now probably is Will Smith, and he's still, what, he's, like, in his early 40s.
Yeah, he's still going. He's been going for decades now.
Yeah, so you don't see a lot of, you know, these whole, like, you know, late 20s, early 30s, like, big stars, you know, big action kind of guys.
Yeah.
You're not seeing a whole lot of that. I mean, maybe that's the whole reason why they're turning to these older actors, because they can't find anybody that's, you know, has the gravitas to play these kind of roles. That's why you're going with the Ed Nortons and the and Robert Downey Jr.'s, and you're going with these kind of actors because you need someone who's going to bring some quality to the role and some realism to the role. And, you know, with most of these actors, that there's no one right now that the audience can trust like that, who's in their, you know, late 20s, early 30s. There's not a lot of people, and I can't even think of one off the top of my head.
Yeah.
So that's something right there.
True.
For all the listeners, if you want to read more of the reviews, there's an official Watchmen review in the forums, and then one of the authors from the site, David, has his review up on the main page, so check that out. I want to thank Tom for being with me.
Thank you. Peace out.
And that's it for this week's Viralcast. To listen to more podcasts, go to movieviral.com, your number one source for movie viral news.